Very good. Turn with me to page 20 in your manual, if you would. We're gonna skip letter A. And we're gonna jump right down to focus on letters B and C. We're gonna look at the two passages, Hebrews 1 and 2 Peter verse 1. So turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I'm gonna read that fairly quickly, and then especially the first three answers under that, just real quick, kind of popcorn answers. We'll hit those quickly. We'll spend a little bit more time on the fourth question, and then 2 Peter chapter 1. So Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Okay, so real quickly, number one, how and when has God spoken in the past? Through his prophets. Very good. Thank you, Mike. And number two, how has God spoken more recently, according to this passage? Through his Son named Jesus. He spoke through his Son named Jesus. Thank you. And what do you think, number three, what do you think in these last days means? Yeah, John. Very good. Very good. Anybody else? Any other thoughts on that? Oh, what's that? Oh, he said, go ahead, John, a little louder.
The time from Pentecost till he comes back, Jesus himself.
Okay. Very good. Now, number four. What else, we'll spend a little bit more time on this one. What else do we learn about the word that God has spoken in these last days from this passage? There's multiple answers that we can unpack from this passage, but this is kind of the meatier part of the topic at hand, which is God's answer to the fall. What do we learn about the word that God has spoken in these last days? Purifies us from our sins. Very good. Thank you, James. Anybody else? You think it means that Jesus is the heir of all things? H-E-I-R. What's that mean? For him, very good. So Jesus is the heir. Jesus will receive that as an inheritance. Jesus will receive all things. He's due, he's purchased that, okay, by his blood on the cross. Very good. Thank you, Randy. What else? When we look at Jesus, we see what who is like. The Father, very good. When we look at Jesus, we see, Jesus is the exact imprint, the exact representation of God the Father. Hugely important news. He's the source of creation, very good. All things were created through Jesus, very good, thank you. What else do we? How else do we see? How does Jesus even now relate to the universe, to all created things? Very good. So Jesus, even now, is sustaining the universe as it is. Right? Pretty amazing. Jesus is very, very amazing when you kind of unpack this. Jesus is superior to the angels. He's seated at the right hand of God. As James said, made purification for the sins. He's the radiance of the glory of God. So Jesus is amazing. I want to key in on the piece of that Jesus is the heir of all things. That's a key part to where the discussion is going to be going as we head into 2 Peter. So keep in mind, just plant in the back of your head, that all things are to be received by Jesus as the inheritance that he is due. Okay? Now let's move on to 2 Peter. So turn to the right, not real far. 2 Peter chapter 1. And let me read those first four verses, and then we've got three subpoints that we want to draw out there, and then we're gonna hit the video again and then have another extended conversation. So let me read these first four verses. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Okay? So let's look at the three questions underneath that passage. What has God given to us according to these passages? Very good, James. All things pertaining to life and godliness. Very good. What else do we see in that passage? True knowledge of him. Very good. Let me see at the beginning of verse 4. Precious and very great, or magnificent promises. Okay? Hugely important stuff. And then back in verse 1, we see that he says, we have received a faith of the same kind as ours. So God has given us a faith. Okay? God's given us faith, he's given us promises, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness, okay? So when God says, go do this, we can never say, I'm not able. Well, I'm not able, but he's given us everything we need to accomplish whatever he asks us to do, okay? So now number 2, through what or whom has he given us this? How do we receive these great gifts? Through his son. How so? That's exactly right. Right? We're reconciled to God only by Jesus. We receive these great gifts: faith, all the power, everything we need for life and godliness. These precious and magnificent promises that we receive. All of them are received only through Jesus, okay? We don't deserve any of these. We all know this, but I think this is one of those key points that's just too important to not reinforce, is that all these things are magnificent, but they come to us only because of Jesus, okay? Without him, we deserve none of them. Only because of Jesus do we get these. Okay, very good. And number 3, what is the point, the end point, or the goal of all this? Very good. Escape the corruptions of life. Very good, James. Thank you. Middle of verse 4. So that by them you may become what? Partakers of the divine nature. Is that good news, Carol? Is that good news? Amen. That is good news. I've read that probably 500 times, still trying to get my brain around it, still trying to get my heart around it, but good news, right? And logically, I look at that, and it just seems so incomprehensible until you realize what God did to achieve that for us, right? I mean, all these things. I mean, partakers in the divine nature, everything that we need for life and godliness. And I look at myself, I look in the mirror, and I say, I don't think so, which is true. But you realize what he did through Jesus to make that possible, right? So it's all because of Jesus and what he's accomplished on our behalf, that all these good, the promises, the faith, the power that we need to live lives of godliness, all that comes to us by way of Jesus. So keep in mind, I want to key on a couple of things before we hit the video. And keep in mind, reflect on, let's see, number 4 up above at the top of page 21. Keep in mind that Jesus is the heir of all things, okay, that all things are his inheritance, rightly deserved because of what he did on the cross and in the resurrection. And that number 3 under C, what is the end point or goal? That we partake in the divine nature, that we escape the corruption of the world. Okay, so keep those 2 points in mind. Jay, if you would you hit the next? Oh, you just need me to hit the space bar?
Yeah. That would be a good move around to find the cursor. Yeah. Then go
when in doubt, hit the return.
Thank you.
Did anybody else's skin start to crawl just a little bit when they thought that their life was kind of in parallel with a committee meeting? My absolute worst nightmare. A long committee meeting. Ugh. All right, good. So we're not going to talk too much today about what that, remember what he said there about what God does is he takes our old agenda, our self-centered agenda, throws that in the trash, and rewrites it with a new agenda, okay? We're going to talk in future weeks about that. What I'd like to do is kind of open it up for discussion, kind of get some free-flowing conversation on, talk a little bit about what are some of the things that are on our old agenda, just so that we can just be aware of some of the things that compete for our time and attention. As we're going to be talking about in week's future, we want our agenda. God's going to rewrite our agenda. He's going to reshape our lives so that our lives are lined up with what His agenda is. What I'd like to do is just get feedback from you guys on what He talked about. Okay, what are some of the things even now that either pre-conversion or even after conversion, what are the things that, again, if everybody's life is a committee meeting, there is an agenda. What are the things on the agenda meeting, on the meeting agenda, that we need to be aware of, so that as we start preparing to learn how God wants to rewrite the agenda of our lives, just to be aware of some of those things that compete for time in our seemingly endless committee meeting of life. What do we got? Very good. Very good. Everybody else's job is to make me happy. If they're not doing it right, then it's totally legitimate for me to be frustrated with them. Right? Very good. What else? Yeah, Carol. Okay. Very good. Learning to say no to things that maybe are not helpful on the agenda. Very good. Back to 2 Peter 1. God gives us everything we need for life and godliness. So He begins to help us say no to ungodliness, yes to righteousness. What else? Yeah, James. Very good. Very good. So we kind of, and that might look like, I'd like to be comfortable. I'd like, free from pain and all those things. So we get frustrated when life doesn't work out the way we wish it would. Right? Very good. So, and a lot of times that agenda, those priorities are driven by a heart that is still tainted by the effects of sin, right? I mean, Gwen will likely give you a rousing hallelujah to this, but I did not stop being selfish the day after I got saved, okay? So I'm still wrestling over that agenda for my life. What else are some of the things that, I mean, when you think about, I read this a long time ago, but we always find a way to do the things that are most important to us, right? So, or fund the things that are most important to you. So when we look at our checkbook, when we look at our calendar, what are the things that are most prominent there? And they may not be sinful things, but in a fallen world, a lot of times these are the things that compete for our affections, that compete for, what are some of those things?
Survival.
Very good. Survival. Need enough to eat, need a place to sleep. Very good. Kind of the bare necessities of life. What else? Yeah, go ahead. Kids activities. Amen and amen. Yep. Yep. Great point by my very wise wife. We live in a culture, I think where we've legitimized the worship of our children, right? I mean, I know people that, through work or otherwise, I know people that they think it's just wrong to deny their kids the right to pursue any activity that they want to pursue. Well, my kid really wants to play lacrosse. So I think it's my job. Now, never mind the fact that I have to miss church in order to do that, and I got to take out a home equity loan in order to afford it, and all the other stuff. But we do, I mean, I think we live in a culture that encourages the worship of kids, right? What else? John?
Sometimes you can have things on your agenda that aren't bad, even be good with the right motive.
Example?
Like marriage.
Marriage, very good. It can become an idol, right? It can be elevated. It can have a prominent place on the agenda that it is not warranted, right? Good, very good. What else? Jay. Very good, very good. Image management, thinking about being concerned about what other people think of me. Okay? Very good. There's tons of time and energy and money that goes into managing that in today's culture. Anybody else think about entertainment? Okay? Whether it's movies, sports, whatever the case may be, all these things have the potential to become inviolable, have inviolable spots on our agenda. You know, whether it's the last round of the Masters or the NCAA tournament or whatever, all these things have the potential to take on a prominent place. Yeah, Davina.
Technology,
very good. Very good. And many times, things kind of go together, like many times the way people behave relative to their technological gadgets has an awful lot to do with managing their image or, you know, making sure that people think of me the way I want people to think of me, that kind of thing. So they're all kind of interrelated. What else? What are some of the other things that end up on our agenda? Or even as we look at our culture in general, maybe it's not something that in our room. Time to ourselves. Yep. Very good. Very good. Which again competes for as we think about what Tony was saying about the sufficiency of the Word of God, if it's true and if it's reliable and if it's sufficient, I mean, how many times, I don't know, we've talked about this as a family, but I've talked about a number of friends who have, you know, maybe started out the year with a desire to, you know, read Scripture more diligently. Great agenda. And many times that gets derailed fairly quickly, and many times when they hit the book of Leviticus or something like that, that's a little bit more complex. That the Bible can be, If we're not diligent, the Bible can be an intimidating book, right? So it takes time, it takes diligence, and yet it's a whole lot easier to turn the TV on than it is to open up God's Word, right? I mean, let's be honest. It just is. So what did you think about what Tony had to say about, how did you react to what he said about Scripture? If it's true, if it's reliable, if it's sufficient for all things, and if it's from God, what do you think about when you hear that? I mean, I'll shut up and take input. What do you guys think about what he said about the Word of God? Yeah, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely. I think 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, indeed all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Okay? So if God were, hey, there's Dominique and Warner. Hey, welcome. Glad to see you back, Dominique. So, well, Randy's point's a great one from the standpoint of, you know, some of them when they bugged out when they experienced affliction, when they experienced discomfort. But if God's word is sufficient, if it's true, and if it's reliable, it doesn't pull any punches. I mean, this is God's inspired word. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, right? So if we believe what he said about this being from God, about being true, reliable, and sufficient, then when we take in God's word, we really shouldn't be surprised when we face persecution, affliction, discomfort, that kind of thing, because God cared enough about us to tell us in his word that life in this world is going to be hard, but it's worth it, right? So I think as we other feedback relative to what he said about the word of God. I'll just throw this open for discussion. How has as you've grown in your walk with Christ, tell me a little bit about how your own thinking about the word of God has changed as you have matured in your walk with Christ. Yeah, John. Very good.
What God says is what I need to do.
Yeah. Excellent. Very good. Who else? Yeah, Carol. Very good. So, Carol said, for anybody that didn't hear, God said the more she's understanding more and more fully that as she gets exposed to Scripture, that God is the living God, right? And he gives us his living word because he knows we need it. What else? How else has anybody else's thoughts towards Scripture changed as they've walked with Christ?
It's very interesting because the Word of God actually has a different nature than any other information, such that, like other information, if I don't
So there's a sanctifying power to it, and time away hurts your soul.
But then like your heart. So if your heart is away from it,
mm-hmm.
you also forget it.
Okay.
No other information is a little bit different, I think. School stuff.
Right.
Even if I don't want it, I mean sometimes I know the information.
Right. That's fabulous. Thank you. Here we go. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and following. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him who, with whom we have to do. And I think keying on a couple of verses, a couple of words at the beginning of verse 12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay, so if it's true, reliable, and sufficient, and it's alive, and it's active, so there's a transforming power. Because so, and just a little bit about how my thoughts, how my heart has changed towards the Bible over the years. Even after I was saved, there was a very real sense in which reading the Bible seemed to be more like an ought to. It was more like a going to a textbook to learn. Tell me what to do. And it's really since that time that where God has been revealing to me through verses and just through life experience, and I've got a long way to go from a sanctification standpoint. But there's really a sense in which God has been showing to me that the Word really is alive and active and not a textbook, but there's transforming power in the Word because it's true. Turn with me to, I love this verse, turn with me to John chapter 17, if you would. So this is Christ's high priestly prayer. And he's praying for his disciples. In verse 17, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So Jesus himself there is putting his stamp of, this is how we're transformed, is by the word of God. Okay? So, again, what I wanted to just kind of reinforce some of the points that Tony made in the video today is recognize that if our lives are like a committee meeting and we have an agenda, whether it's written down or not, we're all trying to accomplish something with our lives, but it's important for us to hear from God in his word so we want our agenda to line up with God's agenda. So hopefully he's going to be rewriting our agenda for why do I get out of bed every morning? Not only what do I do, but why do I do it? That kind of thing. And so in coming weeks, I think what we're going to be finding out is that God's got an awful lot to say about what his agenda is, and he's got an awful lot to say about what he wants our agenda to be, to get in alignment with what his agenda is. Okay? So, again, kind of the idea is that we're every week we kind of, it's like peeling an onion, we just take back another layer, but that's the direction we're heading, is understanding more, having an understanding more fully about what God's agenda is and where we fit into his agenda, so that this life matters for eternity. Okay? So how did we do with our Bible reading this past week? Our Bible reading partnerships. How'd we do? Good? Good. How are you guys enjoying that? All I can tell you is James and I are having a lot of fun. Carol and Gwen got something up their sleeve because they always go as far away from us as they can wherever we are. I think James and I are getting this much Bible study done, about this much fellowship. I think with Gwen and Carol, I think it's probably the opposite, which is great. I will tell you that the Vermeers are very much enjoying their time with the Crenshaws. That is a lot of fun, okay? So we're thoroughly enjoying it. Give me some other feedback. How are you guys doing it? Yes, Warner. Stomachs are increasing. In fact, Warner only woke up a half an hour ago from a syrup-induced hibernation that is the result of goody-goody yesterday morning. Man. We are having some fun at goody-goody. But so keep in mind, remember there was kind of a three ropes that he talked about that you know, transformation comes about by prayer, by the Spirit, the Word, and community. Being in community with other believers, right? And I love this Bible reading just brings those three together. So, any other feedback? That's really huge. So that as I want to be, how are we doing with memorizing the Great Commission? Matthew 28:18-20. Does anybody want to impress the crowd? Does anybody want to show off their memory work by? Who's that? Mike? Fire away. Excellent. Very good, Mike. Very good, Mike. One little tweak to that. The verse before that says, where Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Okay? Add that to the beginning. And that's absolutely foundational. Verses 19 and 20 only make sense because of verse 18, right? Because Jesus... What's that? 18 through 20. We'll give you another shot next week. So please keep memorizing those verses because they're very, very, very foundational. Keep up with your Bible reading partnerships. Okay, it's going to become increasingly obvious why that's important as more of the layers of the onions get peeled back and we seek to become even more faithful as disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Okay? Any questions on homework? I mean, so for next week, feel free to look through. Again, next week we get into God's agenda. Very, very important week. Okay? So feel free to, if you'd like, feel free to interact with some of those scripture passages in Seminar 5. Keep memorizing the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Do your Bible reading partnership. Yes. Go on. What's that? Page 70. This should be week number 3. One-to-one meeting number 3. Page 74 and 75. Okay? And you can come to that. You can prep for that. You can don't feel like, oh my gosh, I didn't have a chance to read it ahead of time or study it all. If you don't, just show up, read the Word together. We'll trust that the Holy Spirit will make that time fruitful. Okay? Good. Let me close this up in prayer. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the course of your life. Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit that each one of us would be transformed more fully into the image of Christ. And Father, that you would, by your Spirit, give each of us a desire to be used by you to make disciples of the Lord Jesus. Father, as we learn in your Word today from the passages we studied together, Father, all these great and glorious gifts were purchased for us by Jesus. He is the only reason that any good comes to us, because we deserve none of it. But Father, Jesus is real. His perfect work on our behalf is completed. And Father, we thank you that even now he sustains us and he gives us power by your Holy Spirit for all things in life and godliness that we need. Father, I pray that you would take these truths, that you would weave them deeply into our minds and into our hearts. Father, that we would honor you with a life of obedience. And Father, that even this coming week, that you would bring someone into our path that would express that may be open and interested to be in a Bible reading relationship with us. And Father, I pray that you would teach us to love your Word and its sufficiency. And Father, that we would use your Word in all of our relationships. And Father, use this church to make disciples of yours for eternity. Father, we just pray that you would be honored through all that we are. And Father, I pray that also for the sermon and the worship service upcoming. Father, we pray that it would be pleasing in your sight. Father, we pray for Jeff as he opens your Word. I pray that you would, that your Holy Spirit would prepare not only him, but Father, all the hearers. Father, that as your Word is read and preached, Father, I pray that your Spirit would transform us more fully into the image of Christ, and that we would, because of the authority that Christ has in all heaven and on earth, Father, I pray that we would go out and make disciples of Jesus, baptizing them and teaching them to obey all your commandments. And Father, help us to remember your presence, that the Lord Jesus is with us always. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.